Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Finalists eager to play at Battle of the Bands. On Saturday, four bands will play for the chance to win not only bragging rights, but also numerous prizes, including a music video and album cover, in the inaugural Battle of the Bands competition at Ector Theater. The winner of the show will also perform at the final Hot Summer Nights on July 29th. The event, which will be put on by Odessa Arts, will start at 6 p.m. at the Ector Theater and will be a part of Firecracker Fandango. The four bands that will play are Never Too Young, Solstrom, Gone by Nine, and Murder Monroe. There will be three judges at the show, including Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Kathy Valentine of the Go-Go's. Quote, "It's exciting, and it's a great way to promote the fact that Odessa is a certified music-friendly community," end quote. Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm said, quote, "This is a great way to add a little bit of professional development and get some professional feedback to our local musicians through our judges, which are top-notch. We have a representative from the Texas Music Office and another who is the director of the Ector, and then Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's coming back to judge our Battle of the Bands, so I think that's awesome that we have a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer here," end quote. It'll be the second time in 3 months that Valentine will be at Ector Theater. She stopped by Odessa in April to talk about her new autobiography. Quote, "I think it's important, especially for the bands, to be critiqued by people who have made it in the music business and have some pointers on style, performance, presentation, musicianship," end quote, Hamm said. Quote, "Kathy has done all of these things and traveled the world with her band, so being able to impart that wisdom and knowledge to the musicians is a benefit that's just unparalleled," end quote. Eight bands originally applied for the Battle of the Bands competition. Online voting was held to determine all four finalists, which wrapped up on June 15th, and the winners were announced soon after. Quote, "One of the things I like about our finalists is the wide variety of music that they represent," end quote, Hamm said. Quote, "It's not just four heavy metal bands. There are a variety of musical styles, but also in the age range as well. The people that are coming to see Battle of the Bands are going to see the diverse nature of the music here in Odessa," end quote. While the finalists are eager to perform, some were surprised that they made it to finals. Quote, "We're pretty excited," end quote, Robin Murray of Murder Monroe said. Quote, "We haven't played in a while. We got a new band member. We're just ready to get out there," end quote. Along with Murray, the members of Murder Monroe include Taylor Jones on guitar, Felipe Sotelo, and Edward Garcia. Quote, "We play our own music and write our own songs," end quote, Murray said. Quote, "We do some covers, but we do them our own way. We're just ready to get back on the scene. After we started practicing, we saw the competition was going on and thought we might as well try for it," end quote. Lead guitarist for Gone by Nine, Nick Hooper, and his fellow band members are also eager to get on stage and perform. Quote, "We're super stoked," end quote, Hooper said. Quote, "We're really excited that our hard work is starting to get noticed. We have an opportunity to show off some of our skills. Our efforts are starting to provide fruition," end quote. Based out of Monahans, Gone by Nine has been around since 2020. The members of the group include Hooper, Iran Sines, BJ Thompson, and Nathan Montez. Quote, "We're a country-influenced rock band," end quote, Hooper said. Quote, "Our lead singer, Iran Sines, has a diverse background in singing. He comes from playing in some Tejano bands. He's a fan of R&B and country. I come from a hard rock background. When we put our styles together, it's pretty cool," end quote. Consisting of members from both Odessa and Midland, Solstrom has been around since 2005. Quote, "We're super excited," end quote, rhythm guitarist for Solstrom, Eric Van Kuren said. Quote, "This gives us an opportunity to share our music. It's songs that are well thought out that we've been really working on. It's a chance to be creative and put something new out there. We're just really ecstatic about it," end quote. The Christian rock band consists of Stefan Stroop on lead vocals and bass, Weston Jordan on lead guitar, Stroop on drums, and Van Kuren. Quote, "We have a wide array of influences," end quote, Van Kuren said. Quote, "I would say our sound, you can probably pick versions of Alter Bridge. There's also some U2 in there. Our lead guitarist is about U2. I also like Explosions in the Sky and Shinedown. Steven's influences is a lot of 90s rock and some post-grunge. I love anything 80s, including 80s pop and 80s rock," end quote. One band that has already won a competition from earlier this year is Never Too Young. The group, consisting of Leon Carrasco, Ian Chavez, and Adrian Revilla, recently competed at Odessa's Got Talent back in April and took first place in the youth category. Quote, "We're very eager," end quote, Carrasco said. Quote, "We're keeping God first. We love playing our music. We wouldn't want it any other way, end quote. Battle of the Bands will be going on at the same time as Firecracker Fandango in downtown Odessa. Quote, this is something that we approach downtown Odessa with to see what we can contribute to with Fandango, and downtown Odessa Executive Director Casey Hallmark has been a great partner in this, in letting us be able to offer programming at the Ector Theater during Firecracker Fandango, end quote. Anne is hopeful that Odessa Arts will be able to continue doing Battle of the Bands in the future. Quote, I think we have plenty of talent out here every year to be offering this to the public on a regular basis, end quote, Ham said. Quote, I can't thank the Ector Theater and Downtown Odessa enough and Young Guns Entertainment, which is offering a prize of a professionally shot music video to the winning band, and I think that's a great deal. I just love how the music community has come out to support this, end quote. Tickets are $5 and can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/3T2J9YTM. Death Notice. Rodney Dale Craddock. Odessa. Rodney Dale Craddock, 60, died Tuesday, June 28, 2022, in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read additional articles from the Odessa American, Friday, July 1st. Quick Hits. The Mysterious Circus. The Mysterious Circus has been scheduled through Sunday at Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, next to Lowe's. Family showtime schedule, any age, 6 p.m. Friday, 2 and 5 p.m. Saturday, and 3 p.m. Sunday. Adult showtime scheduled, 12 years or older, 9 p.m. Friday, 8:30 p.m. Saturday, and 5 p.m. Sunday. Tickets are available at themysteriouscircus.com. Sea Creatures Scavenger Hunt. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a Sea Creatures Scavenger Hunt throughout July. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Summer Spectacular. West Texas Talent Entertainment has scheduled a Laura and Daniel Summer Musical Comedy Spectacular from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday at the MCM Elegante Hotel, 5200 East University Boulevard. Guest stars are Friday, Greg Duren, Chris Crawford, Adrian Green, Joanna Ray, Tara Santiago, and Zariah Soto. And Saturday stars are Marvin Morial, Val Burba, Andrea De La Rosa, Yvette Laveredo, Angela Marie, and Kim Redman. Regular stars are Zoe Alvarado, Tasha Bone, Laura Carpenter, Kaylee Cochran, Sonia Cortez, Kermit Dominguez, Hiram Flores, Priscilla Hernandez, Debbie Kelly, Brianna Rios, and Michael Shields. Tickets are $10 and $20. For tickets or more information, call 432-978-7405. Summer Mummers. The Midland Community Theater, 200 West Wadley Avenue, Midland, has scheduled the 74th season of Summer Mummers' Game of Homes, A Song of Dirtland. Performances will take place each Friday and Saturday through September 3rd at the Yucca Theater, 208 North Colorado Street, Midland. Attendees must be 21 or older with a valid ID to purchase and consume alcohol. For tickets or more information, go to summermummers.com. Exhibitions. Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street, Marfa, has scheduled the viewing of projects Carolina Casido and David DeRosa's at the Museum of Modern Art through January 2nd, 2023, coinciding with the Blessings of the Mystery through September 4th. To learn more about the artist's process in making the works, listen to their transmissions interview at tinyurl.com/4JTHKX5W. Ticket, weekend entertainment guide for the Permian Basin. Here's your sign. Comedian Bill Engvall will be at the Wagner Noel for a show at 7:30 p.m. July 8th. Tickets can be purchased at tinyurl.com/CYW8WU5Y. Are you ready, kids? The SpongeBob SquarePants musical will grace the stage at Permian Playhouse beginning July 29th. For more information, go to tinyurl.com/CV9K5AMJ. Good grief. Alpine's Theater of the Big Bend will open its season with You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown at 8 p.m. July 8th. For more information, go to tinyurl.com/2P9YFMX2. Midland Reporter Telegram Business and Oil Page, Friday, July 1st. Biden to ask Gulf Alliance to boost oil production. By Jordan Fabian, Bloomberg. President Joe Biden's July trip to the Middle East is poised to be a significant moment for gasoline prices, with the president setting his sights on a promise of higher production from Gulf allies. The stakes are high for the oil market because Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are the only countries with significant spare capacity to pump crude. Without a pledge from the two OPEC members to boost production, the president would lose a powerful tool for alleviating the economic and political pain caused by high fuel prices. The trip to Saudi Arabia puts Biden in an awkward position after he vowed during his campaign to make the kingdom a pariah over its human rights record. The president said he wouldn't specifically ask Saudi King Salman or Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to raise oil production when he sees them on July 16th. The broader Gulf Cooperation Council, a forum of largely oil-rich countries along the Persian Gulf, is a more appropriate setting for such a request, he said. All the Gulf states are meeting. I have indicated to them that I thought they should be increasing production, Biden said Thursday at a news conference in Madrid following a NATO summit. I hope we see them in their own interest, concluding that makes sense to do. Even if Saudi Arabia and the UAE are willing to assist the U.S., just how much extra oil the two countries could provide has been questioned by this week by Shell PLC chief executive Ben Van Beurden and French President Emmanuel Macron. Biden says U.S. to face high gas prices as long as it takes. By Nancy Cook and Jordan Fabian, Bloomberg. President Joe Biden said Americans will have to stomach high gas prices as long as it takes to beat back Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. As long as it takes, so Russia cannot in fact defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine, Biden told reporters Thursday in Madrid in response to a question about how long high gas prices might persist. His comments echoes those of UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, his closest geopolitical ally and one who is facing similar pressures back home about the cost of living crisis. The national average gasoline price hit a record this month above $5 a gallon, even after Biden ordered a historic release from U.S. reserves earlier this year. Prices at the pump have been a main driver of inflation, which has been a major political headache for the Biden administration. Biden said he'll ask allies in the Persian Gulf region to boost oil production when he meets with them during a trip to Saudi Arabia next month, though he pointedly refrained to say he'd ask the country's de facto leader to directly when he meets Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in person next month. Biden's latest comments about inflation, which amount to telling voters that they need to brace themselves for the long haul, are unlikely to play well. Americans have cited inflation, which hit a four-decade high this spring, as their primary concern heading into November midterms. Democrats will likely lose control of Congress. Oil Post's first monthly drop this year, by Juliana Franzeres, Bloomberg. Oil marked its first monthly decline since November as OPEC Plus completed the return of output it halted during the pandemic and signs emerged that the U.S. economy was on weaker footing than expected. West Texas Intermediate dropped below $106 a barrel on Thursday, posting a monthly decline of 7.8%. OPEC Plus rubber-stamped an increase in supply for August, but focus is turning to how much those members will spare production capacity will pump once the current agreement ends. President Joe Biden said he'll request more output at the Gulf Cooperation Council Forum next month rather than ask Saudi Arabia directly. Prices were also pressured Thursday after a report showed U.S. consumer spending fell in May for the first time this year and prior months were revised lower. A raft of U.S. data all drove home the point that recession risks continue to grow, said Ed Moya, senior market analyst at Owanda. The demand outlook might be deteriorating as gasoline usage has disappointed, with retail prices hovering near record highs. U.S. gasoline demand is showing signs of softening just 3 weeks into the peak driving season. This comes after retail gasoline prices hit national record highs earlier in the month. The data were published a day after a report showed fewer Americans are planning road trips this summer as gas prices soar. Demand has stalled since the beginning of the year when we were having a higher rate of demand growth, Ed Morse, Citigroup's global head of commodity research, said in a Bloomberg TV interview. And it's stalling out in the rest of the world because of high prices. Soaring gasoline prices have become a political problem for Biden, who has lobbied OPEC Plus to increase output while also tapping into the strategic reserve to supplement the tight physical market. OPEC Plus ratify supply hike, next move unresolved. By Grant Smith, Fiona McDonald, and Salma El-Warndi, Bloomberg. The OPEC Plus coalition ratified an oil production increase that completes the return of supplies halted during the pandemic, while deferring discussions on its next move for another day. The 23-nation group, led by Saudi Arabia, rubber-stamped plans to add 648,000 barrels a day in August, restoring the final tranche of the 9.7 million barrels a day that was shuttered just over 2 years ago, according to a statement. But with most members besides the Saudis and their neighbors unable to raise output, the decision is largely symbolic. In recent months, the group has added significantly less oil to the market than promised, doing little to soothe crude prices. Oil was little changed after the widely expected decision by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies. Brent crude was 0.5% lower at $115.69 a barrel as of 1:34 p.m. in London. Traders are now more concerned with how Riyadh and the United Arab Emirates will deploy their remaining spare capacity, a choice that may hinge on President Joe Biden's visit to the kingdom next month. OPEC Plus will meet again on August 3rd, according to the statement. The U.S. has acknowledged ongoing talks with OPEC's key exporters and wants them to further add supplies as oil prices around $110 a barrel squeeze consumers and threaten to tip the global economy into recession. Extra crude from the Middle East could also help Biden's efforts to limit Russia's revenues, punishing the OPEC Plus member for its invasion of Ukraine. How much the two countries are able or willing to assist remains uncertain. While official data indicates the duo have almost 3 million barrels a day of spare production capacity, deploying this would require them to pump at levels rarely sustained before, if ever. Doing so could raise fears among traders and refiners over how much oil supply the world has in reserve to cover emergency disruptions, a danger highlighted this month by crises in Libya and Ecuador. Russian export losses due to sanctions could alone exceed the supply buffer held by the two countries, according to the International Energy Agency. Spare capacity is very low. Demand is still recovering, Shell PLC Chief Executive Officer Ben Van Beurden said in Singapore on Wednesday. There is a fair chance we will be facing a turbulent period. From the Odessa American, Friday, July 1st. Supreme Court limits EPA in curbing power plant emissions. The Associated Press, Washington. In a blow to the fight against climate change, the Supreme Court on Thursday limited how the nation's main anti-air pollution law can be used to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. By a 6-3 vote, with conservatives in the majority, the court said that the Clean Air Act does not give the Environmental Protection Agency broad authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants that contribute to global warming. The decision, said environmental advocates and dissenting liberal justices, was a major step in the wrong direction. A gut punch, one prominent meteorologist said, at a time of increasing environmental damage attributable to climate change and dire warnings about the future. The court's ruling could complicate the administration's plans to combat climate change. Its detailed proposal to regulate power plant emissions is expected by the end of the year. Though the decision was specific to the EPA, it was in line with the conservative majority's skepticism of the power of regulatory agencies and it sent a message on possible future effects beyond climate change and air pollution. President Joe Biden aims to cut the nation's greenhouse gas emissions in half by the end of the decade and to have an emissions-free power sector by 2035. Power plants account for roughly 30% of carbon dioxide output. Capping carbon dioxide emissions at a level that will force a nationwide transition away from the use of coal to generate electricity may be a sensible solution to the crisis of the day, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote in his opinion for the court. But Roberts wrote that the Clean Air Act doesn't give EPA the authority to do so, and that Congress must speak clearly on this subject. All eyes on airlines as holiday weekend nears. The Associated Press, Dallas. Airlines that have stumbled badly over the last two holidays face their biggest test yet of whether they can handle big crowds when July 4th travelers mob the nation's airports this weekend. Problems were popping up well before the weekend, with some disruptions caused by thunderstorms that slowed air traffic. American Airlines canceled 8% of its flights on Tuesday and Wednesday, and United Airlines scrubbed 4% of its schedule both days, according to FlightAware. Holiday revelers planning to drive face their own set of challenges, including high gasoline prices. The nationwide average has eased since hitting a record $5.02 in mid-June to $4.86 a gallon on Thursday, according to AAA, which expects prices to continue to ease because of rising gasoline inventories. Americans are driving a bit less. Gas demand last week was down about 3% from the same week last June, according to government figures. In a Quinnipiac University poll in June, 40% of those surveyed said gas prices have caused them to change their summer vacation plans. Air travel in the U.S. is almost back to pre-pandemic levels. Since last Saturday, an average of nearly 2.3 million people a day have gone through airport checkpoints, down just 8% from the same days in 2019. If that trend continues through the weekend, records will be set for flying in the pandemic era. Airlines may not have enough planes and flights to carry all of them, especially if there are cancellations due to weather, crew shortages, or any other reason. Airlines are learning the hard way that there is a severe price for over-optimism, said Joseph Schweiderman, a transportation expert at DePaul University. They are on the edge of a cliff this holiday. Schweiderman calculates that airlines have little cushion between the number of travelers expected to fly this weekend and the flights they plan to operate, if all goes well. Any disruptions could cause chaos because planes are booked full. There will be no empty seats on later flights to accommodate stranded travelers. Airlines have been caught short-staffed as they try to hire thousands of workers, including pilots, to replace those who they encouraged to quit when the pandemic caused air travel to plummet. Many of them, including Delta, Southwest, and JetBlue, have trimmed summer schedules to reduce stress on their operations. They are using larger planes on average to carry more passengers with the same number of pilots. Those steps haven't been enough so far this summer. Delta Airlines took the unusual step this week of warning travelers that there could be problems over the holiday weekend. The Atlanta-based airline said it expects the biggest crowd since 2019, and this will create some operational challenges. It is allowing passengers booked on flights between Friday and the Monday holiday to change their schedule at no cost, even if the new flight comes in with a higher fare. Delta people are working around the clock to rebuild Delta's operation while making it as resilient as possible to minimize the ripple effect of disruptions, the airline said. Delta had by far the most canceled flights of any U.S. airline over the Memorial Day holiday stretch, when U.S. carriers scrubbed nearly 2,800 flights, and again last weekend when it canceled 7% of its flights, according to FlightAware. The airlines are increasingly trying to blame delays on understaffing at the Federal Aviation Administration, which manages the nation's airspace and hires air traffic controllers. This year versus previous years, the biggest issue has been air traffic control, said Barry Biffle, the CEO of Frontier Airlines. We've made a lot of steps to avoid the Jacksonville Center in our scheduling, and we have reduced some flying to accommodate that. The FAA has a major facility in Jacksonville, Florida, that handles many flights up and down the East Coast. After a meeting with airline representatives in May, the FAA promised to increase staffing at the center.
Best blood pressure regimen. The best blood pressure regimen is the one that best controls blood pressure with no side effects. Hydralazine is very seldom given for high blood pressure anymore. Sometimes it is given to people with heart failure in very specific instances. For example, if a person were hospitalized for a high blood pressure emergency. You're right about its long-term side effects being concerning. It is the most frequent cause of drug-induced lupus and can also cause vasculitis, blood vessel inflammation. Because of the potential for serious side effects and the inconvenient dosing schedule, it is not often turned to as a medicine for high blood pressure. I am also concerned about the use of as-needed drugs like clonidine for arbitrary high blood pressure numbers. It's never been clear that it helps, and it might cause the blood pressure to drop greatly, enough to reduce brain blood flow. I am not a fan of this regimen. Hydralazine and the amlodipine you are already taking work using a similar mechanism, as does the telmisartan. I would favor slowly tapering the hydralazine and increasing one of the other drugs. Both last much longer in the body than hydralazine, with less risk of side effects. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Mother supportive of transitioning teen. Dear Abby, I'm a 19-year-old trans man. I told my mother years ago, and while she hasn't stopped me from transitioning, she's wholly unsupportive. Despite telling her my new name and pronouns, she refuses to refer to me that way, even when we're alone. I can't tell the rest of my family. They would disown me. Every time I bring it up, she gets quiet or changes the subject. I love her and she loves me, but it breaks my heart to see her ignore who I am and who I know she won't, and I know she won't back me up if the rest of the family finds out. I feel hopeless. What do I do to make her understand? Signed, True Self in Georgia. Dear True Self, parents usually want to protect their children. They can also be misinformed or confused about the issue of being a trans person. The announcement may be hard to accept because many individuals have known they're trans for a long time but hesitated to tell others, including their parents. The revelation can be awkward and challenging to respond to with patience, love, and care. Take your mom to a PFLAG meeting if she's willing to go. It can make a huge difference for parents, and it's what I recommend for you. To find a local chapter, visit pflag.org. PFLAG booklets like Our Trans Loved Ones or Guide to Being a Trans Ally could be enlightening for her and you. For your own emotional support, find community that is accepting and affirming, a faith community, or a transmasculine support group to gain confidence and safety. And do not underestimate the power of chosen family. Create a plan to get your life in order if your family can't be accepting. There are people who will love and care for anyone whose family can't love them. Seek them out. While it may be challenging, look toward community gathering spaces and meetup groups. People are there. It may just take a bit more work to find them. Consider starting the search in a nearby larger town or city to find out who else travels there for support, or find a safe place to explore away from home to gain a broader perspective. Stay safe. Educate yourself about resources online, affirming communities, crisis and emergency hotlines, state laws and rules. Planning ahead is something people forget most often about the transition process. I wish you only the best. Dear Abby, I may stop going to an auto mechanic I have used for several years because of mistakes he's made diagnosing problems on my daughter's friend's car. He advised her to get another car, but a different mechanic replaced the spark plugs and the catalytic converter, and the car's fine. Should I tell him why I'm not coming back, or just drive off into the sunset and let it go? Signed, Fixing to Change in Ohio. Dear Fixing, let it go. If the mechanic contacts you and asks why he hasn't seen you, tell him the truth, that you no longer trust his judgment after the bum steer he gave your daughter's friend.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.